Welcome to the table, pull up a chair. We're building the future, the vision is clear. From the dream to the grind, from the plan to the proof, from the fiction to the fact, from the story to the truth. Hook. Small Black Business Association, voices of power, a new foundation. Learn more about business, learn more about you. For the black community, we're breaking through. Entrepreneurs rising, the fire's alive. We are people for the people, we hustle, we strive. Sharing the knowledge, we lift as we climb. Turning moments into moments, making history shining. Hook. Small Black Business Association, voices of power, a new foundation. Learn more about business, learn more about you. For the black community, we're breaking through.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Beyond the Narrative. Today, you got me, Thomas Ford, U.S. Navy veteran, 20 years, co-founder of the Small Black Business Association, and founder and co-founder of the Nixoria Initiative. As always, my co-host is over here. His name is Kent O'John. Say hello, Kent.
Hello, everyone.
Kent nice, is...
Yo, go ahead.
Okay. Kent is the Black Chamber of the City of Maricopa in Maricopa, Arizona. The City of Maricopa. And that's in Pinal County. So today's host sponsor is... Who is it today's sponsor, Kent? I forgot.
Today's sponsor is actually WAFD, W-A-F-D, WAFD Bank. Previously formerly known as Washington Federal Bank has 28 locations in the state of Arizona.
So do they have any type of online banking or anything?
Yes, they do have online banking. If you would look up their website, wafedbank.com. And they also, the significance of WAFD Bank is at this time, they're offering what's called an express loan. An express loan is a business loan that only requires an EIN and a social. That's it.
Nice.
EIN and social. Okay. And you can get a loan up to $250K.
Oh, wow.
With just a EIN and a social, and they are members of the Black Chamber. And those of you out there, I know it's a lot to say, but just remember the acronym BMCC, Black Maricopa Chamber of Commerce, BMCC. So if you would kindly, if you're interested, check out our website, blackmaricopacc.com. We are presently at 138 members. We've been around for three and a half years. And I am the co-founder. And I'm also the executive director. I'm also retired military. So being retired, I have nothing but time. So those of you out there, we do have members outside the state of Arizona. The majority of our members are in the Metro Phoenix area, but we do have members outside of the state of Arizona. So anyone has any interest as far as the benefits of the BMCC, please feel free. You can call me. 615-935-4451. That's a Nashville area code, but I live in Maricopa, Arizona. You can also look me up on the Black Chamber website. You can contact us through Wix. You can send me an email. Okay, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if you're so interested. Thank you.
Awesome. We also got Corey Turner. He is a serial entrepreneur, very informative brother, also the co-founder of the Small Black Business Association and co-founder for the Nixoria Initiative, too. As you well know, if you haven't known already, Kent and Corey and myself, we are the ones working hard to ensure that black businesses, black people in general, have the opportunities to get ahead. And that's exactly what we're working on with the Nixoria Initiative, as well as the Small Black Business Association and the Chamber of Commerce, City of Maricopa, all working together to make sure that we have the stability and the abilities to grow. You should visit all of the sites. Give us an opportunity to showcase exactly what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we grow. Hey, Corey.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, barely, but
Me?
we got you. We know you're on the phone traveling.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you got you good now. So yeah. Today's topic, it is a very, very important topic, let me tell you. Today's topic is about Charlie Kirk. Now, he has been in the news.
Oh, what? Okay.
He's been in the news a lot since his assassination. And one of the main things that has drawn, I guess, us to want to talk about him today is the fact is that many people have, or especially Trump, the administration, Trump's administration, have made him a martyr, and they're using him as a stepping stone to create havoc and chaos within our communities. Because with there has been something in what, Eureka, California, to where there was some graffiti on the wall of black people being hung, and it has been excessively crazy with the historical black colleges being threatened. Now, mind you, this man was assassinated by another white man. So let's break it down. How are black people being held accountable for something we didn't even have a hand in? Make that make sense. Corey, what do you want? You want to say something about it?
I would like to just ask the question, how are we being accountable?
Well, here's the thing. You got a lot of hate groups are using his death as a way to threaten black people. To, they're using DEI as a stepping stone, saying it's because of DEI. And listen, they haven't mentioned the LGBTQ, but they sure been threatening black businesses as well as black colleges. All right. So given, and then with the rhetoric from the Trump administration, hadn't made it any better. They just continue to showcase, talk about his death as if he was the second coming. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're right. They have.
But here's the thing. How many black people have died at the hands of law enforcement? I mean, it just doesn't make. And then here's the thing. And I was kind of disgusted. I mean, I wasn't as disgusted with my state because, I mean, I like Kemp. But when he signed an executive order to have the flag at half mast on 9/11, I thought to myself, well, the flag was already going to be at half mast on 9/11, so I guess it didn't really make much difference since it was already going to be half mast during 9/11. So signing an executive order is just like paperwork for something that was already going to be done, because of course, even though I know it's not a day, but most states like Georgia has been every year since 9/11 happened. We have put our flags at half mast for 9/11. So if it was like I guess some other day, I'm not sure if the governor would have done it, but I mean I'm not sure he wouldn't have either. But I was a little upset because he didn't do the flag half mast for Ahmaud Arbery. So So, and Charlie Kirk has been, first he started talking about how he liked and admired Martin Luther King. Then he flipped the script and then started talking about how Martin Luther King was a bad person. So he had been, and Charlie Kirk has not been that great of a person. And I feel for him. I rest in peace. I feel for his family. But to, I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's my thoughts and my question. Are we looking at a race war, and are we looking at a civil war? Are we looking at these things?
I will say this. I think it's simultaneously. I think, yeah, both situations going on. As far as the race war, I think is imminent. I think the situation with Charlie Kirk is more of a I'm white and I say so thing. I think that our foundational Black Americans, I think we've always been the primary target. First, it started with the illegals, and then the gays, and then the Haitians. But found the FBAs, our people have always been the primary target. If you look throughout history, Rosewood, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wilmington, Delaware. I mean, I'm sorry, Wilmington, North Carolina. Anywhere where there's been an uprising and attack on blacks, I would venture to say at least 90% of the time, our people really didn't do anything. There's just someone said that a white woman was raped. Someone said that a white man was killed by a black man or whatever. And they're looking for a reason, the dominant society, they're looking for a reason, any reason to attack us and go open season on us. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that a lot of your hate groups, they were hoping and wishing that the assassin of Charlie Kirk's killer, had been black. They were praying and hoping that
I
would
don't.
have given them an excuse to go open season and start just shooting us at will and killing us.
I honestly
Just
don't think they too much care right now. The hate is just out there, and they're just going to any opportunity that that these hate groups could get to hate, they're going to take. That's how I feel. But the question is, how do we, I mean, now with the administration heading these rhetoric attitudes and and the hate mongering within the administration, it's just terrible. But let's talk about this. How do we keep this from happening? Can we stop this from happening? What do we need to do in order to not have a race war? My thoughts is several things that I think we should do. Number one, we should literally come together. If we could come together, if we could unite, that makes it harder for any particular hate group, any particular group to actually benefit from attacking black people. If we don't unite and we continue to be divided, then it makes it easier for them to pick us off one by one. Now, I've been told from a few of my a peace officer friends that the expectation is high that a race war is coming down the pike. And right now, a lot of entities within the law enforcement arenas are starting to prepare for it. If they're starting to prepare for it, that literally should freak every black person out. That should Yeah, if they're preparing for something like this, you all should stop with the TikToks and the excessive Facebook and saying, hey, what can I do to ensure myself and my family's security? What can we do together to make sure that this doesn't happen? Because if we start asking these questions after it happens, it's going to be a little bit too late. And we just cannot afford for to be too late. Do you guys agree or no?
Well,
Go ahead.
yeah, I agree, but the thing is, they've been preparing for this a little bit longer than you think. They've been preparing for this out of probably about maybe a year and a half already. They've migrated to rural areas where there's in the woods, and they have militias already establishing themselves. So I don't know how far that's going to go, but and I don't know how many of them it is, but I know there's at least two of them.
I don't think it's going to be that large. I mean, I know that the hate groups are, they could be pretty large, but I just, when it comes down to America and Americans, after the Black Lives Matter movement showcased that there are definitely not just Black people that is part of the movement, that white people were part of the movement as well. There were Jews, there was Asians, you know, all kinds of people came, including Hispanics. So honestly, I just think that although in their mind they believe that they're fighting for their America, but I believe that when it happens, not if, but when it happens, they're going to be fighting against America. And I think the majority of Americans will see that and start and really start taking the sides of Black America. Because there was one thing that I think a few white people actually put out, that when Black lives matter, all lives matter, which makes sense to me. Kent, you got something?
Yes, I do. I look at it like this, to thwart the situation. I mean, honestly, our people are going to need some help because we are outnumbered. And another thing that hurts our people, in my opinion, is that there are a population of us out there. And I know it's a lot of us in Arizona that are totally oblivious. I mean, they're just totally tuned out to what's going on right now as far as the climate. So if you look at history does have a habit of repeating itself. Back in the 1960s, as you said, Thomas, there were Hispanic sympathizers, there were whites that did support the civil rights movement. And there were Hollywood stars, there were other groups of people that did support the civil rights movement. And it helped, and we're gonna need that. But on the other side, and like I said, I mean, this is my opinion, foundational Black Americans, we're on our own. That's the way I see it. We are on our own. We would like some help. We would like some support. We would like some assistance. But we're going to have to fight this battle or confront this without anticipating any backup, any assistance from anyone. We can't depend on the Africans, Americans, the African Americans. You can't. Really can't depend on the Caribbean or the Islander, the Haitian Americans or the Jamaican Americans, or you know, those other people, the Guyanese Americans, because those people don't have a relationship with foundational Black Americans. They're on there, they're more or less looking out for each other, and they don't have that kind of relationship with us. And as far as a black-brown coalition, my opinion, there is no black and brown coalition. There's no coalition whatsoever. Yeah, you have a few people that will probably side with us, but I don't think it's going to be enough. So me personally, we can't lay down, because if we lay down, then we just get wiped out like lambs being led to the slaughter. So we can't do that. So we're gonna have to assert ourselves. We're gonna have to assert ourselves as far as like a soldier or a marine or a sailor getting ready to go to combat. We're gonna have to defend ourselves. We have a right to defend ourselves, and we have a right to form our own economy. We have a right to form our own entities within America, but without America. So that's my view on that. That's how I see it.
That's a great view. And you already know that we're working this together with the Nixoria Initiative, working hard to build our own economy, to build our own currency, so that we can be okay. So that we don't have to could always could always compete for our place at the table with the United States government, because that kind of hurts us. As long as we are out here struggling and the US government is doing nothing but watching And so, there's another thing. There are a few clubs, a few groups out there right now that are currently supposedly offering help or supposed to be taking up arms to protect themselves. But I think they have been scared off because you no longer, in the beginning, they were out and they was in full force. They was pushing. This is what we're going to do. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But of course, the minute you get that letter from the FBI saying, hey, you're under investigation, then you notice they always seem to go away. And that, again, to me, is a problem. You can't be structured and free if you don't act structured and free. And there are going to be challenges. They're going to challenge every step that we do. But if you cower at a letter, then you're a coward at everything else that comes up. Do you all agree or disagree?
Agreed.
So now let's talk about a civil war. So we already know, we already feel that a race war is coming. We already feel that way. And honestly, as Kent, you said it, we're not ready. Black people are just not ready for what's coming. They're still utilizing TikTok as a soapbox, still cussing people out on TikTok without preparing themselves for what's coming. So, but California is preparing. California is working with Oregon and Washington right now. They have created a partnership. California is currently negotiating with international countries for import and export deals. Could it be possible that California initiates the first state to secede from the Union?
Absolutely.
So somebody that was, go ahead, Ken. Sorry.
I mentioned it months ago. Definitely California. The fact of the matter is, California doesn't need the United States. The United States needs California.
I said this.
California has a top five world economy. Of all the economies in the world, the state of California is like a top five. And that's saying a lot.
Me and my wife was watching that movie Civil War, okay? And in that movie, it said that California and Texas both together succeeded from the United States. And I said, oh, was it Cal? No, I think it was Texas and Florida. I'm not sure, but it was two states that succeeded from the United States. I think it might have been California and Texas and Florida. I think it was those three. But I told my wife, I said, it would never happen where Texas and Florida will side with California to succeed from this union. Now, California would definitely do it because, as Kent said, their GDP is extremely high. They can take care of themselves without the federal government, without question. They can take care of themselves without the federal government. They don't need the federal government's money. That's the reason why Trump is hell-bent at securing California by any means necessary. So now that California has created an alliance with Washington and Oregon, it's going to be interesting to see if they actually succeed from the union. And if they do succeed from the union, what happens to us? People like in Arizona, Georgia, Memphis. I mean, what happens to us? Anybody ask that question? If there is a civil war, what do we do? What's your thoughts? Anybody?
I don't think nobody's thought that far ahead at the moment. And then the people that should know don't know. Like you said, they focus on everything else and living life like it's just gonna continue on as usual from before COVID or whatever. But they're not paying attention. So I don't know. And the awareness is out there. I mean, well, it's not evidently out there. It's kind of out there and in seclusion, but it's out there if you seek it.
That is true. That is definitely true. The information is out there. Everybody has an opinion. But when it comes down to solutions, that's what we're asking. We're asking for solutions. We know that it's going to happen. But when it does happen, what do we do? Where do we go? What's going to happen
I
to
think,
Black people?
well, I'm,
well, I think,
oh, go ahead.
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I look at it like this. The first thing we got to do, and I know they'll probably turn some people off, but the first thing we need to do is to stop killing each other. Okay. All this violence that's going on in major cities, I'm not calling in any name of the cities, but that needs to cease. Because every time one of our people dies, that's a soldier that can't fight. That's a soldier that's lost.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Card. Earn 2% cash back on what you want, like a vintage turntable, so you can get back into
Oh,
vinyl.
nice choice.
If you try to And 2%
fake
cash back on what you need, like a new needle for your record player.
Stop the rain from pouring down. If you
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
I mean, and it's unfortunate that a lot of some of our people don't realize the forces that wish to eliminate us. We're doing their job for them. Every time a FBA takes the life of another FBA. Drug-related, domestic violence, whatever activity that's going on, we're doing their job for them. That's one less person that the government has to worry about.
You're
So
right.
that
You're
needs
right.
to cease right there. That needs to stop right there. That's the number one thing right there. Okay. We got to be a lot smarter. We got, I get that a lot of us we end up being incarcerated when we didn't do anything wrong or this and that. And I know it's a hard thing to do, but stay out of the prisons.
Th that is a
Stop killing.
hard thing to do because here's the thing,
I know it
there's
is.
so
I know
many
it is.
laws that are
Especially
created to be.
in Mississippi and in the South and in some of the big cities. I mean, that's their agenda to arrest a lot of minorities,
I
especially
agree.
African Americans.
I definitely agree. With Florida, they have created a new, well, they're trying to create a new jail down in Florida called the Alligator City. And they say it's for immigrants. But what if every state decided to create a alligator city in their state. And it wasn't for, and they claim it was for immigrants, but in actuality, it is to subdue the black man, subdue black people, to incarcerate and mass incarceration of black people. With what if? And I'm just saying, what if now?
But you know that didn't that is that's not going too well because it's flooded a few times.
Yeah, it has it because of the area, but
They was yeah the idea yeah
the
yeah
idea of
you
being able to create a again, we go back. Let's look what happened in 1941 when Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Look what they did to all the Japanese Americans here in America, a whole mass incarceration for every Japanese person here in America. What is to keeping the federal government from doing that to us?
Well, some people claim the Constitution, but I don't get that part. But some people claim it's the Constitution supposed to protect us, and what is it, the Fourth Amendment? If
The
I'm not mistaken.
fourth and 13th Amendment. But here's the
But
thing.
it,
How much of the
legal search.
Constitution have Trump already violated? He's violated the
That's what I'm saying.
right.
Yeah. So, but that's not, I guess that's not plausible at this time and right now at this moment. So I'm not really sure. I know there's controversy about whether the black people that's in the military or on the police forces or on these agencies is gonna do what they're supposed to be doing as far as their oath, or are they gonna take commands that are different, that goes against their oath?
When President Bush changed the title of police officers from peacekeepers to law enforcement agencies, when he changed the law enforcement agency, he turned them into it, he deterred them from public safety and turned them into a government instrument used to enforce the laws against the American people. Because title means a lot. If you're a CEO and somebody says you're a CEO and you have that title, it says a lot about you. And a lot of people, they take on that title and they take that title serious. Even Corey, we talked about this earlier, even without the pay, that title kind of defines how they act and react to other people. And when a police officer comes to the scene, they're not there to keep the peace. They're not there to for public safety. They're there to enforce the law. And I can't remember the state. There was a state that actually I think it was in Maryland, a state that actually stated that that police officers have no responsibility to act to protect you. Make that make sense.
So
Yeah,
inadvertently,
that's
you're saying
crazy.
that we have the right to protect ourselves.
We
So
should.
if the police can't protect us, then we have to protect ourselves. Common
We
sense.
should. We're right. That's common sense. We should have the right to protect ourselves. You're 100% right. But do we have a right to protect ourselves when it's
No,
like
not it. It don't appear it to be.
there's a lady, there's these guys that broke into this lady's home. She was in her house with her baby by herself and shot and killed one of the people that was trying to break into her apartment. And it took them almost 2 weeks to make a decision if they wanted to convict her, okay, or let it go. Make that make sense. So if we had the right to protect ourselves from anyone who would do us harm, why would it take a week for the prosecutors, for the solicitors, to say, hey, yes, we agree. She was protecting herself. Why a week? It should have taken, let's look at the video. Oh, we see the video. Boom, you're good. You protect you. In fact, it used to be a time when the police had the autonomy to saying, I'm not even going to bring charges. I'm not going to charge you. The police department, police officers could have came on the scene, saw what happened, filled out a report, and been on his way. Submitted the report to the solicitors, and then been on his way. No harm, no foul. What about the man up in New York? Man jumped over the counter, started trying to beat on the man, and the man took a knife. The store owner took a knife and actually protected himself from this man and killed the person who was coming after him. It took them almost 3 months to saying, oh, we're not going to bring any charges. So, no, since they have transformed from peacekeepers and public safety to law enforcement, they no longer have the responsibility to you, me, or anybody else. Right now, it's all about control, manipulation, and how do we hold you accountable? Make that make sense?
Yeah, it don't. Really don't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can't. I'm just going to say this. I can't speak for everyone else, but I'm going to speak for myself. If law enforcement, if a regulation or something was to come out saying for the state of Arizona that law enforcement has no right has no obligation to protect a regular citizen. Well, I'm going to protect my wife and myself at all costs. So if that means incarceration, so be it. You know, I'm not going to just lie down and allow someone to violate me and my wife. I'm not going to go out like that. It's just not going to happen. So
I think most people feel that way.
A lot of people feel that way. So I think personally, there's a lot of talk, but make no mistake about it. United States was founded on chaos. Okay. And in recent times, the U.S. has been at war probably more than any other country. And I said recent times, not the history of the world, but I would say the last 200 years since its inception in 1776. The United States has been at war more than any other country on the planet. And it is what it is. This is where we live. So all I can say is all of us, especially FBAs, we have to be prepared to defend ourselves. It's the bottom line. Okay. And I know for a fact there's a lot of other people out there that feel the way I do. Because, you know, NRA has his organization. Well, we have our own organization. You know, the NAAGA, we got our own organization, you know. And there are people, our people, they're not going to lay down. I mean, throughout history, 1960s, you had the Black Panthers. You had the Muslims, the Nation of Islam. You had
5% nations.
The deacons for defense. So it ain't going to be that easy. Bottom line is, it's not going to be that easy.
I disagree. I tell you why. I mean, today, I disagree. And I tell you why. Everybody's got their nose and their head into TikTok. They truly, and they see what's going on, but they just don't know how to respond. And anybody who comes to them and saying, hey, let's work together to respond, they ignore and they turn away because they feel like they're going to get in trouble just to engage with people talking about protecting ourselves. So honestly, this is what I believe. All of these angry Black people, all of the angry that sit up there and will cuss you out on Facebook, talk about they ain't going to put up with this, they ain't going to put up with that, will be the first to lay down. They will be the first to bow down. They would be the first to submit.
Also the first to kill another black man or black woman over a $20 debt or something real petty and something real stupid. Quick to do that, you know. But I do believe that it's not going to be that easy. Yeah, you know, you got a population of our people, like I said, are oblivious. Some of us are cowardly. Some of us bootlick and oh, please take me, please don't hurt me. Oh, I'll do whatever. You know, I mean, you actually have some people out there that will go back to the plantation if it meant sparing their life. You know, unfortunately, there's a population of us that are like that. You know,
that brings up another thing. There is in the works right now that we don't understand or know about, and they're not calling it this. I'm calling it this. Plantation laws. That's the reason why they're hell bent at taking the 2026 elections, even if they have to steal it from Americans. They are going to do everything in their power to make sure that they take over the House and the Senate in 2026. And trust me when I say this, you may not believe me, but they will be plantation laws. Laws that give authorization to white businesses, white business owners, to defer and how they hire black people and how they manage black people. This is what I consider to be a plantation law, okay? Because that's what it's going to be. So you're going to be pretty much back in plantation days, all right? And with some of the laws, maybe not as excessive, but they're going to be there, and we're going to complain. We're going to moan and groan. But when it comes down to the masses, as Kent said, there's still more of them than there are of us. We would definitely going to need – we can't do it alone. We're going to definitely need help, all right? But here's the thing. They're not going to help us. Why? Because we're not trying to help ourselves. We're not trying to get out there, and all we're doing, we just want – we want to engage the hustle without the grind. How do you engage the hustle without the grind? It's because we want to talk a good game. We want you to pay for our availability. We want you to pay for our participation, but we refuse to participate on our own behalf. And it doesn't make sense. And I could sit here all day long and tell you that there's a cliff coming. But if you ignore me and you still drive off the cliff, is that my fault or is that your fault? I'm going to say it's your fault because honestly, I told you a cliff was coming. And you got three brothers on here right now, Kent, myself, and Corey, who's telling you there is a cliff coming. There are things in the works that you have no idea while you're sitting there on TikTok and Facebook, which is fine. While you're sitting here trying to get, you know, 2 million, 3 million followers so you can make a couple of dollars off of advertisement, they are literally working hard to redefine how black people are being perceived in America. In America. You think it's because you think it's all about the illegal immigrants. That's just the first portion. That's just the first part. That's the first part of 2025. That 2025. The second part is now, and again, Trump has already said it, and he's told you. He's going to start trying to ban American citizens. He's already started doing it. How do we get rid of some American citizens? Imagine if they could, if immigration could come into your house and saying they are withdrawing your American status, that you are no longer American. Now you have to pick a country. You got to go somewhere. Go ahead, Kent.
Well, they already tried with the Haitians. The Haitians have a history of rebellion, right? So ICE went into a New York neighborhood and they tried to round up a bunch of illegals that were deemed illegal. And those Haitians, they was out there scrapping. They were out there fighting, you know. So, like I said, It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Honestly, I don't
Haitians,
think so.
they have a history of violence, so Haitians are they know, yeah, that's what they do. So, but we are so done. We done got pacified for so long, all right. That I just I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Okay, but I feel like I'm not. I feel like our black people here are more interested in followers than they're in to protect their families and their household.
Our people are too occupied with false idols, false insecurities. We are all about titles. We are all about indications of wealth. Look what kind of car I drive. Look how I'm dressed. Look where I live. Look at my title. You know, we're too obsessed with that. You know what I'm saying? And I was watching a financial empowerment series. And I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Boyce Watkins, but I was listening to him this morning. And he was talking about how our people are the biggest spenders of all groups of people. We're the biggest spenders as far as like vacations and designer.
I see that. Yeah. But vacations, I don't think we're the biggest spenders when it comes down to vacations or stuff that really matter.
I'm going by what he says. Okay.
Okay.
If he's wrong, he's wrong. But I'm just regurgitating what he said. He said, we're the biggest spenders as far as the economy, as far as like feel good stuff, as far as entertainment. Okay. So let me revise that. We're the biggest spenders as far as entertainment. Okay.
That's the truth.
Entertainment. We spend a lot of our money on entertainment.
That's true.
We want to be entertained, you know, and we want to turn up. We want to floss. And when this thing goes down, a lot of us are going to be caught off guard because we're too occupied with wanting to feel good. But for whatever reason, we want to feel good. And like I said, as a member of the BMCC or as a founder of the Black Chamber, I've learned so much about my people. Like the demographic, as far as like the typical person that joins the BMCC is a black woman over the age of 30. That's who normally joins the Black Chamber. I would say that the Black Chamber is about 80% women, believe it or not. About 80%. So
my face
when it comes to our people, lately, the black woman, she's been the one carrying a lot of the weight. I'm not gonna say all the weight, but a lot of it.
I posted on Facebook about some of my ideals about what we see and how people are making Charlie Kirk a martyr and all the stuff that's happening. And I asked the question, do they believe a race war is coming? And Tony, she's a female. Her comment to me on Facebook was, she doesn't believe so because she don't believe we would participate. So she says we need to concentrate on building and empowering ourselves. But here's the thing, if a race war comes, how do we not participate? Either we engage in being
we don't have a choice. I mean, you got some idiot with a scope and a rifle while going to Walmart, and I guarantee you, if something like that pops off, that's going to be one of the first places that gets hit. Walmart, Target, any grocery store, those are going to be the first places that get hit.
Now, you know, let me be clear real quick. We're not engaging anyone to actually go out and for, let's say, engage in hostile acts and hostility.
No.
We're not saying anybody should go out and create a group to become hostile.
We should not initiate violence.
Exactly right.
But so we do have a right to protect ourselves. We do have a right to protect ourselves. Do not initiate violence, but protect yourself.
Yeah. Be vigilant.
Be prepared to protect yourself. Right. That's right.
Be vigilant. Keep your eyes open. Make sure you are prepared, okay, if something does pop off. But if it does,
right.
Do
and
the right thing.
Another thing. And just another thing, too, that our people memo that we need to get is this. It's one thing to have wealth. Protecting it and keeping it is something else. You have to be able to protect whatever you work for and you earn, whatever you accumulate. You have to be able to protect it. Okay? So if something were to evolve to the point where there's like a black state or all 100% black city or whatever, a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy for what I'm about to say, but it should be like a military base. You should have.
I agree with you. Ask Corey, he'll tell you. That's exactly what we've been talking about.
If someone wants to come into Fort Ford, Camp Ford, you know, the city of Ojon or whatever, you know, or Coryville, Ohio, or wherever, you know what? They need to show an ID. They need to be checked. Their vehicle needs to be checked for weapons. We need to know who's coming in and who's going out. And if you don't have any business there, then you ain't coming in.
I mean, look, you know? Right now, white people are doing it right now in their own neighborhoods. They got these high-rise neighborhoods in New York where you have to cross a bridge and you come to a gate and you have to show ID before you come into that neighborhood. So it's not unheard of. It's definitely, and that's what we're doing. The Nick Soria Initiative is all about developing communities that empower us, all right, to help build us so that we can protect ourselves, all right? And I think every Black person should support that. Every Black person, every minority person should want to be part of a community that is diligently protecting ourselves, our community, and our resources, period. So.
Right. So you got, like I said, we're not the only ones with that idea, Thomas. There's a county in Texas, and I already told you about that situation.
Yeah.
There's some rumblings going on. There's a part of California. Actually,
California's going to be easy to do. California don't. They're going to make it extremely easy for it. So I don't think that's going to be a problem in California. But I don't know how we're going to do it in Arizona. We're going to try, but I don't know how we're going to do. So we got 5 more minutes on this podcast right now. So what I want to do is I want to invite people to join us as we start talking and clearly giving people a clear understanding about a lot of things that's going on within the Black community. So the Black Cooperative Economy Summit is happening November 15th and 16th. 2025 is a virtual event. The initial cost is only $2.50 to join, to network with a whole bunch of other people, like-minded people who believe in wealth building, who believe in community, who believe in strength through prosperity. Did you hear me? Strength through prosperity, because it is only when we prosper do we become strong. And together, unified, we could do so. You'll meet a lot of great people, have a lot of great speakers like Kent Ojon. And we got a few other people that's going to be speaking. You're going to hear about re-education, re-educating Black people. Hear about economics, why economics is important, and other things that will be of importance. So you should go to nexoriaco.com. That's NEXORIACO.com. Click on events, And then just see what we got going on. It is shaping up to be a very large event. It is virtual, so you can sit at home in front of your computer, on your phone, and participate. So this is something that I believe is important for all of us. So I hope to see you there. I hope that you participate. I digress. It's only $2.50. And it's an investment into your future and your livelihood. If you want to be an entrepreneur, this is the place to see if you got what it takes. If you need to expand your mind in marketing or in your own job, in your own workplace, then this is the place. If you need to understand how to value and revalue your money, this is the right place. This is where we learn to grow. This is where we learn to expand. This is where we unify. It is the Black Cooperative Economy Summit, November 15th and 16th, 2025, virtual at nixoriaco.com. And don't forget, you can also join for free the Small Black Business Association at sbbasupport.org. That's sbbasupport.org. You can join that for free. And there's a lot of great resources, a lot of great information that I think you'll like. And here's the thing. If you have an online service and you're looking to expand your online service and you want to become part of a chamber of commerce, which helps build credibility for what you're doing, being part of any chamber helps you to build credibility. You should join the Black Chamber City of Maricopa to expand your reach and build your credibility. So, final thoughts. We got 2 minutes. Final thoughts. Anybody?
Oh, I don't have any at the moment.
I pretty much said everything that I need to say for right now. I've said everything I wanted to say.
Awesome. Well, my final thought is, it is very important for us to unify right now. Very important for us to start working together collectively. These are some challenging and dangerous times. And if we are not united, we will be destroyed as we are divided. And if you're not thinking about your future, I would challenge you to put down TikTok, to give a day away from Facebook, and not ask what the Black community could do for you, but ask yourself what you should do for your community. God bless you. God keep every one of you. Thanks for joining us. From your host here, Thomas Ford and Kent O'John and Corey Turner, we wish you guys peace, love, and so goodbye, everybody.
We've shared the truth.
We've shared the truth.
We've shared the life.
Shared the life.
Building together, our future's bright. From every voice,
from every voice,
the vision grows.
The vision grows.
Stronger each day, the whole world knows.
Hook.
Small Black Business Association, lifting us higher one generation.
Dream it, build it, make it true.
The power of us begins with you.